Previously, in John chapter 3, we learned that by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we can love our brothers. Therefore, we can obey the commands of God by the power of God. However, as we just read, beginning in chapter 4, John reminds us that the Holy Spirit of God is not the only spirit operating in this world. Therefore, he tells us that we have a task, and our task is that we must test the spirits. You see, there are not only true spirits in the world, but also false spirits. So here in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we have a task and three tests. So John tells us what we must do and how we can do it. So there's a task in verse 1, a test in verses 2 and 3, another test in verse 4 and 5, and a final test in verse 5. Now look with me at verse 1. John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." In this verse, we see a requirement, something we must do, and a restriction, something we must not do, and a reason given for those things. Now, John gives the reason last, but we are going to start with it first. Let's look at the reason why we must not believe every spirit, but must rather test the spirits. John says at the end of verse 1, "Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." John is teaching these people how they can believe, and that by believing they can be forgiven and have life. But John is not the only preacher out there, and the gospel message is not the only message that will confront them. And so he is letting them know that there are many false teachers, many false prophets, just like what we read about in Deuteronomy and in Matthew chapter 7, false prophets, false teachers who go out. Therefore, we need to be on guard. There's this going out, even in John's day. Think of it. Within John's lifetime, already false teachers going out, disturbing the church, spreading lies, pulling men away to destruction. This is not a surprise. In fact, Jesus, as we read in Matthew 7, said this would happen. He also said in Matthew 24, verse 11, "Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." The Apostle Paul understood this as well. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, leaving the Ephesian elders, said this, "After my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Peter, too, spoke of false teachers. He said, "There will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." So it is clear that even from Christ's time and to Paul's time and Peter's time, that there would be false teachers coming in, trying to upset the church. And I want you to notice not only the fact of these false teachers, but the goal. Did you notice? Jesus said they would seek to deceive many. Paul said that they would seek to draw away disciples. And Peter said that they would bring destructive heresies. So John's aim is that we would not be deceived, that we would not be drawn away, and that we would not be brought to destruction by heresy. So he gives us a task. And that task has, first of all, a restriction. And that restriction is this: do not believe every spirit. I often tell people that as Christians, one of our jobs is to believe things. As a Christian, I believe all sorts of things that other people do not. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, that he laid in the grave for 3 days, and that he was raised again, that he's exalted in heaven. I believe all kinds of things that the world does not. Yet, there are some things Christians must not believe. There are some things which to believe them will bring you harm. So we must not believe every spirit. To be a Christian is to be a believer, but that does not mean that we are naive or gullible. No, indeed, there are some things which we must not believe. So that is the restriction. Do not believe every spirit. And then John gives us a requirement. So we do not believe every spirit, but rather we test the spirits, he says, to see whether they are from God. This is an examination. The word test here means to examine carefully, to prove. Like you might test a coin to see whether its metal is genuine, or you might test gold or some precious gem to see if it is in fact worthy and valuable. In fact, this is the word that the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 11 to say, let a man examine himself to see whether he be in the truth. So this examination then means we are to look at these spirits, to test, to carefully weigh, to consider, to evaluate what they are saying. Look at the intention of this test, to see whether they are from God. Remember that passage we read from Deuteronomy 13. We want to hear from the God who redeemed us out of this world. We do not want to chase after foreign gods. We want to hear spirits from God. In the book of 1 John, John sets forth several contrasts. Beginning in chapter 1 and working all the way up until now. So these are contrasts between God and his people and the devil and his people. Let me give you some examples. From chapters 1 through 3, we have a contrast between light and dark, between the Father and the world, between Christ and the Antichrist, between truth and falsehood, between children of God and children of the devil, between Christ and Cain, between love and hate. You can see on the one side, these are all things that come from God and all things that are opposed to God. Here in chapter 4, we have several more contrasts. We have the spirit of God and false prophets, the Antichrist and spirits not of God in verses 1 through 3. We also have those that are of God and those that are of the world in verses 4 and 5. Another contrast, you and them in verses 4 and 5. Another contrast, us and they in verse 6. And then finally, in verse 6, another contrast, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By the way, look with me at verse 6 at the end there. Some versions capitalize the spirit of truth and then do not capitalize the spirit of error. In fact, the New International Version gets this exactly correct. They capitalize spirit of truth. And the reason why is spirit of truth here is a reference to God, the Holy Spirit. If you remember, this is a title that the Lord Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit. He's John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. He refers to God, the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth. So you see, what John is doing is he's drawing a contrast between things from God and things not from God. And all of the things from God go together. The light and the truth and Christ and love and the Spirit of God. All of those are on one side, and on the other side are the devil and darkness and sin and hatred and the Antichrist and false teachers. So John wants us then to discern, to make sure that the spirits we are listening to are not of Satan. So he prescribes to us several tests. The first test is confession. You can test a spirit by its confession. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that when John says that we are to test the spirits, we understand that we cannot see or hear with our ears a spirit. John here is not talking about the spirit itself, but rather he's talking about the false teachers and the teachers who are animated or inspired or empowered by a spirit. You see, we test their teaching, and when we examine their teaching, we know the spirit that is in them. Just like when we believe in Jesus Christ and when we love our brothers, we know the Spirit of God is in us. And that is how we test the spirits. We test the spirits by their effects. So when John says test the spirits, and then he picks up by talking about the Antichrist or false prophets, know that he means we test those teachers to see what spirit is in them. All right, then, the first test. We test them by their confession. The Spirit of God confesses Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh. But the spirit of the Antichrist does not. And this is in verses 2 and 3. You see, the Spirit of God confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. John begins with a deduction. By this we know. We know whether a spirit is from God or from the Antichrist or the devil, right? That contrast between all the things of God, all the things related to God, and all the things related to Satan. These other spirits John is referencing are none other than the devil. That same evil serpent who tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. That same evil serpent who motivated Cain to kill his brother. So there's a deduction. By this we know. By what? By their confession. By what they say. Now this confession means literally to say the same thing. A confession, whether our profession of faith, like we're talking about here, or our confession when we confess our sins, simply means to agree with God about the state of affairs, right? When we confess the truth, what are we doing? We are agreeing with God. When we say, I believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you're simply agreeing with the facts as God has told them. So we want to test the spirit by what they confess. And look at the nature of this confession. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, that is not all the truth about Jesus Christ, but it is an essential truth about Jesus Christ. Remember that for John, Jesus is the eternal Word, right? That which was from the beginning. He is the eternal Word, who in chapter 3, he told us, is the Son of God. So John here is talking about the eternal Word, God, who is called Jesus, who saves us from our sins, is the mediator, the Christ, the one who is anointed by God and appointed by God to stand in between man and God, came in the flesh. And when he came in the flesh, he obeyed God. He was subjected to the law, obeyed God. And for his obedience, he suffered. He suffered the horrible death on a cross and did go to the grave. And then 3 days later was raised again. See, when John says Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he's telling us about the Jesus Christ who was the eternal Word, who came as a Savior, anointed by God to stand as the mediator between God and man. He's talking about both Christ's divinity and his humanity, and the two of those things tied together in what we call the incarnation. You see, a truth like that, the truth about Jesus Christ, is not from man. It is not something that we on our own would understand. Do you remember when Jesus asked Simon Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. You see, the faith that we have when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God from chapter 3 is the same as the same spirit motivates that as the spirit who motivated Peter's profession and motivates the confession of teachers. So, a teacher who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. But look at the contrast. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Literally, and this is the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist simply means anything opposed to Christ. All of these things that we read about that are opposed to God, those are all Antichrist. They're all against him. Any opposition to Christ is anti-Christ. So then the spirit of the Antichrist does not confess. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit who confesses the gospel. So we learn by process of elimination every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God and is indeed anti-Christ. And this is the starting place for any teacher you listen to. If they deny the incarnation, if they deny the deity or the humanity of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, they have nothing for you. You do not have to listen to them. In fact, you should not listen to them. The Apostle Paul said it this way, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God speaks the truths of God, and that same Spirit who enables you to believe the truth about Jesus Christ inspires you to confess it with your mouth. And teachers who will do not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh are not Christian teachers. This eliminates immediately all teachers of Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, all of those world religions, all the teachers in all of those religions are false teachers. They are motivated not by the Spirit of God, but by the spirit of the Antichrist. Any spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's all. They all deny that. They are all false teachers. Now, of course, some are more subtle. They will say, indeed, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But then they equivocate. What they mean by Jesus is something different than the Jesus whom John speaks about, Jesus who's the Son of God, Jesus who taught us what love is by dying for our sins. Jesus, who was the eternal Word. I'm thinking of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They will use the language of Jesus Christ, but they by no means refer to the same Jesus Christ that John refers to. But then there are some others still who perhaps confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and yet their other words and perhaps even their actions contradict that confession. Can such a confession stand up? Now, I know that many of you have come from a Roman Catholic background. In fact, I know many of you still have relatives and friends who are entangled in the Roman Church. And it's true, the Roman Church confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But when they also teach that the Pope is the head of the church and that Mary is a mediator between God and man and that the merit for our salvation comes from the saints and that the Mass is a sacrifice, we find little room left for Jesus, the Christ who came in the flesh. You see, we can contradict or deny the confession of Jesus Christ not by just refusing to say those words, but by multiplying and adding words to it, or adding doctrines and practices to it that contradict it. And so, the first test is the confession. A teacher who confesses what the Holy Spirit teaches is of the Holy Spirit, and those who do not are of the spirit of Antichrist. The second test comes to us in verses 4 and 5. And here we see the test of separation. You see, the Spirit of God overcomes the world, but the spirit of the Antichrist actually conforms to the world. Let's look first at the Spirit of God overcoming the world. John says in verse 4, you, that is Christian, you little children, you are of God and have overcome them. Who are them? Well, them are the false teachers, but we will learn later on in verse 5 that the false teachers are actually from the world. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Spirit of God, by whom we are born again, by whom we believe in Jesus, by whom we confess Jesus, empowers us to overcome the world. Jesus said this in John chapter 12 and 14 and John chapter 16. He said, remember, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now, how did Jesus overcome the world? Well, in the first place, he did not fall for its schemes. In the face of the world, he obeyed God always. He did not stoop down and behave as the world behaves. No, he behaves as the Son of God behaves, obeying the Father and pleasing him in all things. The world threw its very worst at Jesus Christ. In fact, the world killed him, but they could not keep him because he, having God's Spirit, could not be overpowered by the world. In fact, he overpowered the world. And that is the promise that he gives to us, that we will overcome the world. And that's what John says here. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater. The Holy Spirit enables us to overcome the world. In fact, in John chapter 5 verse 4, we read this: for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, you show that you have been born of God. And everything that is born of God overcomes the world. The world cannot hang on to you because the Spirit of God is too powerful. And so you overcome, you attain a victory over the false prophets and, in fact, over the whole world. Now notice John says that it's because of the Spirit who is in you, the Holy Spirit. It is not by our power, right, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that we overcome. I also want you to consider then, while we are looking at this contrast of God and the Spirit of God and Satan and the spirit of the Antichrist and on the false prophets, and I want you to understand, this is not an equal battle between God and Satan. It is not an equal battle. It is indeed a battle between God and a created being. This spirit that John refers to, this spirit of error, the Antichrist, he's old. And he's very wise and very powerful compared to us, but he is nothing compared to God, the eternal. So it is not an equal struggle. Now, I want to talk for just a moment about the world. When John mentions the world here, he is speaking of the unbelieving world, the world in its opposition to Christ, the world who rejected Christ when he came, and the world who rejects Christ's message even now. So the world, he refers not simply to the earth or even the people on it, but the people on the earth in their unbelief who reject God's Son. John has laid out several contrasts about this world throughout this letter. In chapter 2, verse 15, he says that love for the world is contrary to love for God. You see, to love unbelief in opposition to God is contrary to God. He says that the world is actually the source and the realm of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. All of those things that are our enemy, they are of the world, not of God. John says in chapter 2, verse 17, that the world is passing away. Christians, meanwhile, are being renewed every day and being prepared for an eternal home in heaven. And the world, the unbelieving world, the world in opposition to God, even now, even in John's day, is passing away. It's flickering out. Its days are numbered. The world, says John, does not know God or his people in chapter 3, verse 1. The world hates God's people. That is why Cain killed Abel. That's what we read in chapter 3, verse 13. And finally, the world right now is under the power of the evil one in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. So this unbelieving world, the world that John is speaking of here, is that world that is under the power of the evil one, the devil, the Antichrist, the false spirits. And because of that, they hate God and hate his people and do not receive his message, and they cannot love. In fact, they cannot love. They can only hate. That's why Jesus says, do not love as the world loves. Right? They cannot, because they do not have the Spirit of God. Now, there is a contrast then. The spirit of the Antichrist, right? So the Spirit of God and God's people overcomes this world. Victory over the world. But there's a contrast. The spirit of the Antichrist conforms to the world in verse 5. You see, they, these false prophets, are from the world, just like Christians are from God. John is speaking here about source or origin. Christians are born from above. We are born from God. We are born by God's Holy Spirit. We are called by John children of God. Therefore, we are called of God. The false teachers, however, are from the world. They are born of this world. They have the spirit of this world. They live upon and will never achieve anything greater than this world. So they are from the world. And notice, they speak the world's language. And the world understands them. You know, this is a clue, by the way, for testing the spirits. Because believers, God's children, have in them the Spirit of God. They speak like God. Meanwhile, these false teachers, having in them the spirit of the world, speak like the world. Do you remember the slave girl who was giving Peter a hard time at Christ's trial? And she said, surely you're with them. Your accent gives you away. Well, so too it is with teachers. Their accent gives them away. What do they talk about? What do they teach? Is their teaching world? Is it more in conformity with the things of the world, with things like the lust of the flesh or the pride of life or the lust of the eyes? Or is it in keeping with God and his word? Now, these false teachers, they have the spirit of the world, and therefore they speak the world's language. And because they speak the world's language, the world hears them. That's another clue to false teachers. What they teach is scarcely distinguishable from what the world teaches. You could turn on the television and see whatever Oprah or Deepak Chopra or whoever it is, what the world is teaching, what the unbelievers are teaching. And if someone is teaching something vaguely distinguishable or not even distinguishable from what they're teaching, then you know it's not the Spirit of God animating them. It is the spirit of the Antichrist. You see, they speak of the world and the world hears them. Their whole philosophy, their agenda, their principles, their standards, their beliefs of what is right and what is wrong are all worldly and not godly. And we could multiply examples, but especially beware of teachings creeping into the church. You know, so, do you remember the Israelites when they were in the wilderness? God had brought them out of Egypt. And they were grumbling. Oh, they longed for the spices of Egypt. Well, so too in the church today, there are those teachers. They've come out of the world, but man, do they long for the things of the world. And they would do nothing, they would be happier to do nothing but to bring in the world's goods into the church, the world's teachings. Well, do not listen to them. And beware of them, especially when it comes to their teachings about God and his character. You see, man's views about God will never attain to the righteousness and holiness of God's views about God. Therefore, we do not want to know what man thinks about God. We want to know what God says about himself. Be especially careful about their teachings about righteousness. Because, you see, only the Spirit of God understands the righteousness of God. The world does not understand righteousness or justice. The world does not even understand truth. How can they tell us the truth about God and his righteousness? Be especially careful about their teaching on sexuality and marriage and gender. The world is utterly confused about these things. You want to listen to God, who created these things and blessed these things and defines these things. So, that's the second test, the test of separation. The Spirit of God overcomes the world, but the spirit of the Antichrist conforms to the world. Therefore, those who are conforming to the world are revealing that they are empowered not by God the Holy Spirit, but by the Antichrist, by the spirit of this world, the god of this age. There is a third test coming now in verses 5 and 6. Excuse me, in verse 6. And we'll call this the test of recognition. You see, the Spirit of God listens to the Word of God. He recognizes. There's a saying, real recognizes real. Well, God recognizes God. And the Spirit of God recognizes the teaching of God. In fact, the Spirit of God listens to the apostles. But the spirit of the Antichrist does not. John in verse 6 says, we, that is the apostles, are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. See, God recognizes his own voice. And so the Spirit of God in believers recognizes the teaching of God given to the apostles. It was Jesus who sent the apostles. The Holy Spirit will be able to recognize those whom Jesus sent. John says, we are of God. And this looks back to what he said in the first chapter. Listen, from chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was of the Father and was manifested to us. Remember, if you can remember back to then, or even not know that John here is talking about his role as an apostle, as Jesus Christ appointed ambassador to spread the gospel. And he is saying that if teachers will not listen to us, to we who were there, to we who saw Jesus, to we who were appointed to declare his message, if they don't listen to us, it's because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And if they don't have the Holy Spirit, what spirit is animating them? It can only be the spirit of the Antichrist. John makes a very bold claim there. He who knows God hears us. How can this be? Well, it is because the Holy Spirit of God recognizes the teaching of God given to the man appointed by God the Son, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God recognizes the teaching of God. Jesus in John chapter 10 said, my sheep hear my voice. And so it is even now. God's sheep hear his voice being taught by the apostles. But look at the contrast in verse 6. The Antichrist does not, the Spirit of Christ does not recognize the apostles. John says, he who is not of God does not hear us. Interestingly, they speak the language of the world, remember? They speak the language of the world and the world hears them. But in verse 6, they don't hear the apostles. Now, hear oftentimes means much more than just to listen, right? It means to recognize, to obey, to submit to. And those who do not submit to the apostles do not have the Spirit of God. We are of God, says John. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And then he tells us, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of error has no time for the apostles or their teaching. So this is wonderful for John, but where are the apostles in our age? Well, despite what you may see with some TV preachers, there are no apostles today. All of the apostles, every one of them, are in heaven. But we do have the same teaching, don't we? We have the Word of God given to us in the scriptures, the apostles' teaching given to us by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who empowered and taught the apostles inspired and preserved the Word of God, the Bible. So the Spirit of God in us recognizes the teaching of God from the Bible. And those who reject the Word of God from the Bible do not have the Spirit of God. And those who teach contrary to the Bible are teaching not by the Holy Spirit, but by some other spirit, namely the Antichrist from the devil. So the Spirit of God recognizes and listens to the apostles or the apostles' teaching, which we have recorded in the Holy Scriptures. But the spirit of the Antichrist does not. John has given us a task, not to believe every spirit, but rather to test them. And he's given us three tests: their confession. Do they confess the true Christ? He's given us a test of separation. Are they overcome? Have they overcome the world by faith? Or do they conform to the world? In fact, do they speak the language of the world? And recognition. Do they recognize? Do they listen to the apostles? Do they listen to the word of God? Or do they listen to something else? If in John's day there was a danger of deception, how much more today? Beloved, I don't want you to be deceived. Do you remember when Eve was deceived and God asked her about it, right? And she said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Oh, and that deception, the number of pains that that brought into this world. That same serpent, that same evil spirit, Satan, is still working in the world and still seeking to deceive. But John has showed you how you can test the spirits. You can know whether a spirit is speaking of God or of Satan. Because John has showed you. You know the test. You know the confession. You know the separation. And you know the teaching of the apostles. So you don't need to be deceived. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Let's pray. Almighty God, we want truth. We want your word, Lord God. Give us your word, Lord, that you would send out preachers of your word, Lord God, that we, Lord, would hear and obey and submit ourselves to that word and not be deceived or drawn away, Lord, but instead would come to you and be saved, Lord, and indeed overcome this world. Father, give us your word and nothing less. We want your Holy Spirit and nothing less. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.